Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. I said this yesterday, I'm going to say it again. Maybe you've heard the phrase before, give a gift, change a life. Maybe you've heard it so many times, it's sort of become background noise to you. Well, I want to bring it to the forefront of your mind because this is absolutely true. A gift, a rightly placed gift, has the power to forever change a life. And we at Faith Radio, we're just so honored to be partnering with One Child again this year because Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, and He asks us to take up His cause to care for and advocate for them. In fact, I love what Scripture says. It says, when you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord, and He will repay you. That shows you God's incredible heart for the oppressed, the hurting, the broken, and the poor. He's saying, if you will tend to these dear ones for me, I will repay you. That's how much it's on God's heart. Just $39 a month, a little more than a dollar a day to change the life of a child. And when you sponsor a child, you allow them to receive food, nutrition, educational, medical assistance. They get to hear about Jesus. If you're like, I'm in. Just count me in. Then you can call the number 800-864-0200. But if you want to prayerfully look at some of the faces of these precious kids who are waiting for sponsorship, go to our website, MyFaithRadio.com. I'm looking at a little boy named Jaden, and he's got the sweetest countenance. He's 7 years old from the Philippines, and he's cooperative, friendly, gentle, loving. He wants to be a police officer, and he loves God's Word. I want to wrap my arms around him and hug him. But there's many children like Jaden waiting for you. But boy, do we have a guest today. I'm telling you, I watched his story, and it wrecked me for days. And his name is Darth Lee, and I want to tell you about him. We're going to get just his backstory and his experience, and then his connection to One Child. Darth Lee grew up in Cambodia during the killing fields. He was separated from his family, used, abused, and tortured as a child. He was sent as a refugee to the U.S. and later felt called by God to go back to Cambodia. He's the One Child country director for Cambodia, serves thousands of children at Hope Centers. Darth, what an honor to meet you. Thanks for joining us today.
Good afternoon, Suzy. It's so good to be with you. Thank you for the opportunity to just be with you this afternoon.
And I will say Northwestern Media is a big organization, and we've kept you busy. So I know you've been on the air a lot. So
yeah,
since 6 o'clock?
Yes.
Is that what you said?
Six o'clock this morning.
If you can even complete sentences during this time, we applaud you because that is a lot. So pray for Darth, friends, because he's pouring a lot out. And I'm going to just pray for you right now, and then we will jump in here. But Father, I want to thank you for my dear brother. I want to thank
Amen.
You, Lord, in the middle of his suffering, in
thank
the middle
you,
of his abandonment, Lord God. You never turned away. You never left him. You never forgot about him. And he literally is a walking miracle. What the enemy meant for evil did not prevail. Your plans for good prevailed.
Yes.
And now, Lord Jesus, you're turning the table on the enemy and using Darth to change thousands and thousands of lives. So even as he's poured out so much today, would you pour back in, God?
Thank
because
you,
as we refresh others, we ourselves are refreshed.
Thank
and I
you,
just
Jesus.
Pray you'd strengthen him, refresh him, anoint him, appoint him, and you would continue to bless the work of his hands, Lord God. I pray that you give him favor with people in high places, that you'd open doors that have been previously locked to him, God, and that you would make a way where there's been no way in the past. Bless his family. Guard them as the apple of your eye. Keep them closely knitted together with each other and you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Susan, for that.
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, before we get into your backstory, Darth,
yes.
Every day on the show, we always ask the same question, and it's
sure.
more of a personal nature. It's just, what has God been talking to you about these days? As you spend time with the Lord,
yes.
What's he been impressing upon your heart?
So, lately, he's been talking to me about that he cares more about me than what I do. And so, you know, as missionaries, we see the needs, and we're just going out there to do the things. And sometimes we got burnout. And lately, we've been serving in Cambodia for almost 28 years now. And so I've been kind of burnout, and God has been just trying to bring these healings into my life in terms of just the refreshness and the hope that I have in him. And so he's saying, you know, I care more about you than what you do for me. And so that is just an incredible refreshment to my own life. And so, yes, that's what he's saying to me.
That's so wonderful. And there's so many ministers of the gospel who are burnt out right now. So I'm just trusting that he's going to provide many exit ramps for you to lie down by peaceful streams and green grass and be refreshed in his presence. So
yeah,
thank
amen
you
to that.
That.
Yes.
Well, this story, I might see if we can post a link to the video in the show notes today, but can you bring us back to your childhood when everything changed?
Yeah, certainly. So 45 years ago, there was a radical communist known as the Khmer Rouge, led by their leader named Pol Pot, took power in the country of Cambodia. And so when they came to power, they wanted to turn Cambodia into some kind of agrarian utopia communist state. And so to accomplish that purpose, they murdered one-third of the population. Mm. And Cambodia today is known as the land of the killing fields. That is because of the genocide that took place in that country in the 70s. Well, I was 7 years old when the Khmer Rouge came to power. And at the age of 7 years old, I can still remember today as they marched us out from our home with only the clothes on our backs. And we were marched out into the countryside. And then I was taken away from my family, was sent to a labor camp for children ages from about 7 all the way up to 11, 12 years old kids. And even as children, they forced us to work in the rice paddies from sun up to sundown without food. And then the thing was, they would torture us. And so I was tortured so many times. In the labor camps that I was in to begin with, we had over 2,000 children. But 4 years later, less than 50 children were still standing. And I was among those that were still standing. So that is my childhood story.
You know, there, and again, there's so much more to it. I remember in the video, you talk about you're starving, you're just exhausted, and it's this just relentless, brutal, you know, forced labor, and you're so hungry. And I think you found a little
snail.
Snail that
and
you
so,
wanted
yeah.
to eat.
Yes.
And that you got beat for, you got in trouble for, and you also were forced to watch the torture of some of your fellow, these are little boys, I mean, little children that were forced away from families into a labor camp, and that you were forced to watch the torture of others, and you yourself were tortured for just trying to feed your tummy.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, so they would, these guards, the soldiers, they just kids themselves. They, you know, 15, 16-year-old kids, they were the children of the Khmer Rouge, and they would torture the other children, and those of us that were not being tortured were forced to watch as they would take a plier and, you know, pull off their fingernails and toenails, as they would take plastic bags and put over the kids' head and suffocate them and kill them. And we were forced to wash their faces. They would cut open kids' chests and literally rip out their heart. And this is a bit graphic, and just showed it, put that in the palms of their hands and showed it to us and said, "You will be next." And those words, it still rings in my ears today because you will be next. You will be next. And they have a saying that, you know, to kill you is no loss. To keep you is no gain. And they would yell that over and over to us. And so that phrase is literally imprinted in my mind today.
I'm just so sorry. And, you know, this strong sense of justice, what I hear, I'm just like, what I think is you will have to face God someday for what you did to these children. You will have to face God. And I know as a believer, then I've got to move into intercession and pray for their souls. But the justice mama bear part of me is like,
yes,
how dare you do this to these children? I mean, and to anybody. But how long were you in a labor camp? And then how did you get free?
I was in the labor camp for 4 years.
Oh,
and then in 1979, the Vietnamese, the neighboring country, invaded Cambodia. And so one day, bombs exploded all around us. And the children that were still standing, 50 of us or so, we were so emaciated that we couldn't walk, much less work. They would drag us and left us to die in the rice paddies. And so one day, bombs exploded. And we found a hole in the ground to hide, and we crawl in there, and after a couple of hours, when the shooting had stopped and the bombs had stopped exploding, we crawl out and looked around and noticed that the guards, they were no longer there. They had ran away. And so we were left to fend for ourselves. And so some of us thought that perhaps we can walk and find some other survivors. And so we walked to a town, and it took us several days, but eventually we got to this place, and there we met other survivors, and they were coming out from the different labor camps. And all of us were just walking skeletons. But when I was sitting on the side of a road looking for somebody to come and help me, there was a woman walk past me, and she was also coming from another labor camp. And as she walked past me, she stopped and turned around and came back and asked what my name is. And after I told her, she said, she's my sister.
What?
And then she'd explained to me that she had three children, and they forced her to watch as they torture and kill her three children right in front of her. And later she learned that they kill her husband at a different labor camp. And so I stayed with my sister. And then there was a group of us, about 100 or so people, and somebody within that group said, perhaps we can escape to Thailand. And so one night we made the journey, walking from where we were headed towards Thailand, the borders between Cambodia and Thailand. It's about 200 miles away.
Oh, my word.
But the thing was, we had to walk across a jungle that was, and it still is today, filled with landmines. And the people would walk in front of me, and they would step on these landmines, and I would dive to the left, to the right, to hide. And after the smoke had cleared, the screaming had somewhat died down, I would crawl out and look around, and I would see these people got their limbs blown off. And many times they were still alive, just laying there, bleeding and pleading for help, and we couldn't help them. And I had to walk on top of them because we couldn't walk around them. And so we just keep on pushing on. Eventually, those of us that were still standing made it to Thailand, and we were put into a refugee camp. And there, eventually, we got sponsored and came to the U.S., and I came to Minnesota at the age of 11 years old.
Oh, you came at 11 years old. Wow. And then you were able to stay with a family who happened to be Christians, right?
Yes. And so I was in the care of the state, of course, the Child Protective Agency in the Ramsey County here in St. Paul, Minnesota. And they put me in a foster home, and my foster mother attended a church there in St. Paul. And I was sent to that to her home, and then she took in other kids as well. And so, and then from that point on, my foster mother took us, the kids, to church every Sunday, every Friday, every Wednesday. And through that, I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 14 years old.
Wow. Okay, we're going to pause here for a break. When we come back, I want to know, how did Jesus minister to your heart? I mean, it's one thing to come to a saving knowledge that my eternity is secure, but you had more trauma than most ever have in a lifetime. I mean, I want to know how God ministered to you, what it was like as a young teen, acclimating to the U.S., so much trauma, but having met Jesus. Praise God that he put you with this family. I mean, that. Thank you, Lord, for that. Wow, talking to Darth Lee, and he's a one-child director for Cambodia, but obviously he's got his own story. And friends, you give a gift, you change your life. I mean, somebody gave a gift and allowed Darth to be sponsored, and somebody took him in. And there's so many children right now on our website, myfaithradio.com, who are desperate for intervention. They need food. They need the gospel. They need skills so that they can end and break this cycle of poverty. For just a little more than a dollar a day, you could change a life. It really is true. Give a gift, change a life. If you're just ready and you could say, I'll just take whatever child they give me, you can call now, 800-864-0200. If you want to prayerfully just sort through these precious children, go ahead and do that at myfaithradio.com. But I'm asking you, yesterday I had my eye on two others, and they were sponsored yesterday. But now I'm looking at Jaden. There's just something about his eyes and his precious, sweet, innocent face. 7 years old. That's the age Darth was when trauma and tragedy struck his home. And this sponsorship giving Jaden a hope and a future. And he wants to be a law enforcement official. And he wants to know how to better study God's word. We'll be back in a minute.
I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. When you sponsor a child in need, you change their life. Your child learns that God loves them more than they can imagine and that He has special plans for their life. Your child gets help with school and is taught leadership, life skills, and how to overcome poverty and even succeed in life. Your child will get nutritious food and vital medical care that often saves lives. You might not be able to change the world, but for one child, you can change theirs. Meet the kids and find your child at myfaithradio.com.
One moment.
One moment.
One child.
One child.
Our land was very dry, and our family so poor. We survived by the mercy of God because we had very little food and a few clothes and medical care. I never imagined the dream of taking my son to school would come true. I was scared he would grow up homeless like I did. But when I heard about the Hope Center, I was so happy. When I learned that a sponsor made it possible for my son to attend school, I was surprised. I wondered how someone so many miles away would care so much to donate to him. I have never seen such great act of kindness.
That was Nicholas, a father who so wishes he could provide for his kids. But when you live in an area of extreme poverty, it's just profoundly difficult for the best of parents. Moms and dads, just like you and me, they love their kids like we love our kids. And yet many of these parents work all day long for barely enough to eat that day or provide anything for their family. They love when their children are accepted into the Hope Center because these children still get to come home at night, still get to do life with their family. But the Hope Center provides the good meal for the child, educational assistance, medical attention, and these kids learn about Jesus, and it gives them a reason to believe that they have a purpose and they can dare to dream. If you sponsor one child, you literally change their world. And I think the more kids that get sponsored in each location, the more the whole community changes because the cycle of poverty is broken. Darth Lee is my guest today. If you just tuned in when the live show's over, you got to go back and listen to the podcast to hear his backstory. But he, when he was seven, you remember the killing fields? Did you hear about those in Cambodia when a communist regime came in and killed a third of the population and put these little boys in labor camps? Well, Darth was one of them, tortured, exposed to torture, experienced so much trauma, walked through the jungle with landmines, but people right in front of him were being blown up by landmines. Just unbelievable. And then through sponsorship came to the U.S. and to Minnesota, believe it or not. In a foster home, his parents were Christians, took him to church, and this is where he found Jesus. And we're going to get to your work in Cambodia, but we've got to follow this narrative, Darth, because it's just so amazing. So here you're a young teen.
Right.
You're going to church. You find Jesus. Tell me what that was like for you.
And so for the first couple of years, I was just didn't have any words to even express what I have lived through. And so, but when I was 14 years old, at our church, my home church, they had a Bible camp, and I went to the Bible camp in Lake Geneva. And there, when the speaker called us and asked us to come forward and give our hearts to the Lord, I went and I gave my heart to the Lord. For the most part, I didn't know what was that entail because I just didn't understand the full story. But I gave my heart to the Lord anyway. A couple months went by when I was sitting on my bed. Now, once I got to the U.S., once all the physical needs were met, enough food and shelter and clothing and all that, the nightmares would show up. I would be awake in the middle of the night and had these nightmares because of my experience. And I couldn't even tell my foster mother because I just didn't have the word. I didn't know how to do that. So I would suffer in silence. But as I was sitting there on my bed after I gave my heart to the Lord, and it just realized on me that I didn't have the nightmares anymore. God just simply took that away, and I can sleep in peace and the rest of my life. And so that was just an incredible to me, because I just, you know, as a child, I just didn't understand it. But God came in and just took that away from me because, you know, as scripture tells us that he came to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, and give sight to the blind and set the captive free. And he set me free from my nightmares.
That is amazing. By the way, I've spoken at Lake Geneva at that camp number of times.
Okay.
Yes, it's an amazing gathering place for people of God. So wow, do I love that you got saved there. Just amazing. So in the years that followed, I mean, the Lord removes your nightmares. That's just so profound and powerful. Did you need anything else to sort through the trauma that you'd been through? Because you're your teen acclimating to, you know, American life. Or was it just really supernatural the way God lifted
that? Yeah, I don't know how to describe it other than saying what you said, supernaturally, because God just simply took it away. I've never had any counseling. And for the most part, I think I'm normal now. And now I don't know what normal is, but maybe your audience can tell me. But I think I'm normal because God had done this miraculous things in my life.
Wow. So when you became, you know, your later teen years, you went to North Central University.
That is correct, yes.
Yeah. And did you have a sense of calling on your life then, or what were you doing when you were studying? What were you thinking was going to happen?
So the reason I went to North Central is because, again, God just took away my nightmares, and I was so thankful, and I make a commitment in my heart, and I said, God, I don't know what I can do to serve you, but I will serve you. And so after high school, some of my friends from the youth group decided to go to North Central, so I went to North Central. And then as I get closer to graduate from North Central, I was thinking, okay, what can I do now? And so I was thinking, perhaps I can plan a church in the Twin Cities among the Asian communities that we have here. But that didn't happen because God called us back to Cambodia.
And had you met your wife yet?
Yes, at that point, well, when I was at North Central freshman year, I met my wife there. And she's also from Cambodia, and she's a survivor of the killing fields as well.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. They need to make a movie out of your life. I mean, there's a video that we're going to attach to the show notes, but they literally need to make a movie out of your life. And so were you both at the same time feeling the calling back to Cambodia, or did one have to kind of say, I feel this call, you got to pray about it too?
Yeah, so I think I'm the one that felt the call the strongest, and I kind of talked my wife into it because at first she didn't receive that call. The reason I got the call is when I was a senior at North Central, Cambodia, as a country, opened its door to the outside world. And the Assembly of God, as a fellowship, that they put missionaries on the ground in Cambodia. And one of the missionary families that first went to Cambodia, they were from my home church, and we're a friend till this day. And so he asked me if I was willing to go back to Cambodia to help them just for a short time. And at first, I didn't want to go back to Cambodia. I wanted to put that part of my life behind me. But he insisted, and so out of obligation to him, I went back to Cambodia in 1992. And once I got back to Cambodia, the memories that I tried to forget once again surfaced in my conscious mind. And I thought about my mother, the mother whom I was separated at the age of 7 years old by the Khmer Rouge. And so we searched and looked for my mother, and a little bit over 2 weeks later, we found my mother. When I went to meet my mother, I saw this frail, sick, broken person. She could hardly walk, and she was telling me about the suffering that she had endured. And I was just overwhelmed, and I asked God, I said, Lord, please do something to help my mother. And then the Lord said, yes, Christ had done it all on the cross. And because of that, I can do something. I can come back and bring the good news of Jesus Christ to my mother and the people of Cambodia. And so I didn't want to hear that. I came back from Cambodia and then got married, but the calling didn't go away. So after I got married, I share our calling with my wife, and eventually she agreed to also go back to Cambodia. And so we went back in 1996.
Wow. And how about your sister? Did she make it through the jungle?
Yes. My sister is living in Minnesota. She's living in Shakopee.
Wow. Amazing. Wow. I got to just ask, was there ever justice served? Was anybody ever prosecuted for that genocide?
For the most part, no. Several years ago, they brought three people to trial. And these people, they were, they're old and they didn't have any connections to the politics of the country. But for the most part, the people in the country knowing that there's no justice. And so the trial didn't really mean anything to the people that have suffered and survived. And so in Cambodia today, those that had survived, the wounds is still fresh. I would go and talk with people and just ask them a couple questions, those that had lived through the genocide. And in that same a couple minutes, they would start to cry. Tears would start to run down their faces as they recount what happened to them. And so the wounds is still fresh for the most part.
You know, we do some work in Rwanda, and my hubby mentors some young men from Rwanda, and the genocide there was just so unbelievable as well.
Yes.
And they, you know, there's one degree of separation from these young men who work together. You know, your father killed my father. I mean, it literally is like so unbelievable. And one thing that they say to Kev often when they look at our politics and even the division in the church, they said, that's not going to end well. You can't just think you can keep hating each other and dividing without consequence. You got to do something with your offenses. You can't just let them build up as if it's always going to be okay in your country. And that has really struck me so deeply, Darth, because we take so much for granted living in this, you know, first world country. I would love just your thoughts on that.
Yeah. So, you know, the enemy intended for evil in all of our lives, and that's what he does. And so if we don't deal with these things, our divisions, and that can lead to destructive things that perhaps we don't know what's coming. And so my thought is, as believers, we are called to make an impact in our community, in our society. And so we cannot just hide in our churches, behind our walls, and think that the enemy will leave us alone if we just pray enough and do the things, the Christian things that we're supposed to do enough and not impacting our community. If we don't change the community, the enemy will, and the community that the enemy is changing will come, and it will. You will feel that personally in your own lives.
Boy, that's so good. If you're personally trying to self-protect, you create a vacuum for the enemy to fill, and eventually you'll personally feel it. We're ambassadors of peace, so ministering to these communities is our call. You know, fill your space and run your race. And when I'm thinking about you, we saw that first trip back, you went as a favor to a friend, hesitantly, but you got there and the memories surfaced as you'd imagine they would. How did you sort that through, and how did God meet you there enough for you to go, I can keep doing this?
Yeah. So I was numb in the first couple of days. And, you know, if I could, I would have gotten on the plane and came back. But I just dealt with it in the best way I could at that point. Of course, praying, and God is helping me sorting through all that memories. And to able to find my mother and bring that full circle back to the times when I was 7 years old being separated from her, that is an incredible, overwhelming experience. And until this day, I don't know how to fully express what I felt at that point. It was just an emotional, overwhelmed event in my life.
What it must have been like for her to see you, knowing she's frail, she's sickly, she's totally immersed in poverty, and you at this point look healthy and cared for, that had to have done so much for her.
Yeah, so you know, we had our helper that went and looked for her. And so as this missionary friend and I, we were pulling in, and we couldn't go all the way to the front of her house where she was living because there was no road. So we parked about a block away. And so I walked up, and when I got closer, I saw a woman squatting on the dirt there, and she was doing something. And the memories just came back, and I thought perhaps that was my mother. And so, and she heard the commotion because we're just outsiders coming in. And so she looked up, and our eyes caught. And for a moment, we looked at each other, and then she just turned around and continued to do what she was doing. And then the driver that took us there ran ahead and yell at her and telling her who I was. And then she came running towards me, and then she just embraced me, and I was just numb standing there.
Wow.
And I didn't know what to do, and I wish I was not there, but you know, all these emotional feelings that were just surfaced. And it was guilt. It was also happiness and all that. But God used all that and to allow me to be able to stay with her. So, yeah.
Wow. And was she open to the gospel eventually?
Yeah, she didn't. She didn't understand, of course, being a Buddhist. And, you know, for the most part, people living in Cambodia do not have an opportunity to hear the gospel. So they don't know what that means, since for her that was the case. But over the years, we were able to share the gospel with them, and she prayed the sinner's prayer with me. And for the most part, she didn't understand, but she did it because I've asked her to, and she wanted to do something that would make me happy. And so, you know, Susie, one thing that I have learned serving in Cambodia, that God is more compassionate than my wildest dream. And so, yes. And that is the case. And I know that God is watching over my mother. So, yes.
Oh, wow. And you honor her so well, Darth. We're going to pause. When we come back, I want to just hear about how you started, when, you know, how the call came where you're like, this has to be our ministry, and how you acclimated and what God is doing now in Cambodia, because there were very few Christians back then, and there are quite a few Christians in Cambodia now, thanks to the saints who have felt called and responded to the call. I'm Susie Larson. This is Susie Larson Live, talking to Darth Lee, and he is the director for the Cambodian Center for One Hope, and he oversees a number of Hope Centers. We'll ask him about that work on the other side. If you've got a question, go on and text it in 877-933-2484. If you feel like, I've heard enough, I can do, it's a little more than a dollar a day, $39 a month. I've got to help somebody. And maybe you feel like just cannonballing in the water. Just give a call to 800-864-0200 and they will assign a child to you. 800-864-0200. If you want to prayerfully look at these children, would you take a peek at Jaden while you're there? A little boy, 7 years old from the Philippines. I imagine Darth being this age, this sweet, innocent age, when his life took a tragic turn. But look what God has done. Because people were praying, people cared, people sponsored. So we do need your help. Would you check out these precious stories on our website at myfaithradio.com? We'll be back in a minute.
We have had conflicts, and we have had refugees for decades. We have Palestinian refugees, Iraqi refugees, Syrian refugees. But the problem is that when you have all these refugees coming together, you know, how do you deal with these children? How do you deal with all of these different backgrounds, different cultures, different way of thinking? Yes, they're all Middle Eastern, but each one has their own idiosyncrasies and specialty and trends. So we have to navigate through all of these things. Unfortunately, in the West, we are too focused on wanting to help only one part or one country in that region, and that's Israel. And we have no problem with that. We want to support Israel and bless the Jewish people. How do we do that? How do we bless Israel the best way we can? Sponsor an Arab child.
Wow, I just want you to think about that. You can sponsor a child living in the Middle East right now by going to myfaithradio.com. What if the child you sponsor one day turns into a leader or an influencer that will help bring about a change in the Middle East? That could happen, but not without your help. What if you just changed one child's life? Instead of them becoming an extremist, they could become an instrument of peace, of God's love. They could receive an education, nourishment, and the gospel, and skills to break the cycle of poverty. Think about that. You can sponsor a child right now. Look at the beautiful faces on our website. They're living in extreme poverty. MyFaithRadio.com. They need a child champion. $39 a month to change the world for this little one. Go to MyFaithRadio.com. I'm talking to Darth Lee. Oh my goodness, his story will rock your world. Again, if you just tuned in once the live show's over, go back, please, and listen to the podcast, because I'll give you a quick synopsis. But in Cambodia, in the time in the 70s of the killing fields, maybe you've heard about that. He was 7 years old, separated from his family, forced into a labor camp for young little boys, tortured. He was tortured many times, forced to watch other little boys get tortured. Long story short, they were able to escape through the jungle, landmines, people getting killed, and the Lord brought him to the U.S., to a foster home in Minnesota,
who happened to be Christians, who brought him to church, and he went to a camp, a Christian camp, and gave his heart to the Lord, went to a Christian university, met his wife, and was given the opportunity to go back to Cambodia. He didn't want to, but a friend said, I need your help on this trip. And a lot of the trauma surfaced when he got there, but he also was able to see the need. Okay, so you went on this trip, Darth, and you went home, and you talked with your wife, and you both prayed about it. How did you get connected with One Child?
And so we went back to Cambodia, and at first we were asked to run an orphanage. Right now we're planting churches and oversee the Hope Centers and schools. But at first we were asked to run an orphanage, and we didn't have enough resources to care for the children, to have the capability to care for more children. And so we reach out to One Child. Back then, the organization was called Missions of Mercy. And they, of course, knowing that they do child sponsorship, we thought perhaps they would help us and help us sponsor the children, find sponsor for the children. And so we reach out to them, and they was willing to help us and started to develop this partnership and relationship since 1996.
Wow. And how did you start? I mean, like when you, so you invited their partnership, what did the work first look like for you?
And so we asked them to help us. And so they said, okay, we need the children. And so that gives us an ability to take in more children into our orphanage. And so we took their pictures and we sent the profiles to then Missions of Mercy, now is One Child. And they, we're doing what they're doing right now is going on to radio, to churches, and ask believers in the United States if they would sponsor our child. And through that, we're able to have the resources that to help the children in Cambodia.
Wow. And when you were you living there full-time at this point?
Yeah, at that point, we went into as missionaries to Cambodia in 96, and we were there for 3 years, and then we came back to the U.S. for 1 year, and then we went back, and we've been doing that every 4 years. We come back to the U.S., but those 4 years that we're not in the U.S., we're living in Cambodia and oversee these hope centers and schools and planting churches and share Jesus Christ to the people of that Buddhist country.
Wow. Do you have children?
I have three daughters. Our oldest, her name is Sophie. She's 29 years old. She's living in Milwaukee. And then our middle daughter, her name is Sabrina, and she is living in with us today in the Twin Cities. And we have our youngest daughter. Her name is Seda, and she's going to a Northeastern University in Boston.
Wow. And so when you travel now, you're away from them, I assume, huh?
Yes. And so when we were in Cambodia, we were away from them as well, because in Cambodia, there's no, well, they have schools, but there's no schools that would meet the American standards. And knowing that our kids, two of them were born in Minnesota, we wanted them to have that option. And so we have to send them to a boarding school in Malaysia. And so our daughter went to school in Malaysia since they were 10 years old. And so even when we were in Cambodia, we were separated from them because they were at the boarding school.
What was that like for you?
That was incredible, difficult for my wife and I. Because, you know, we love our children and we want to be with them, but we have to make the decision whether we're going to think about their future in terms of their educations or, you know, keep them in Cambodia. We were homeschooling them in Cambodia, and they got to fifth grade, and they needed to go to a real school where they have an opportunity to be with other children and develop socially. And so we made that decision knowing that it will be difficult, but God is faithful, and God kept them safe, and God provided for them, and they love the Lord today, and they're just incredible young ladies.
Wow, amazing. And talk about from the point you got to Cambodia to now, the footprint of the ministry of One Child and what's going on there now.
Yeah, so when we went back to Cambodia, you know, there was just maybe a handful of believers, but we didn't know where they were. For the most part, the genocide basically killed a lot of believers. There was a revival that happened before the country fell into the hands of the Khmer Rouge. But there was a book that a missionary wrote in the title Anointed for Burial, and that was talking about the revival that took place before the Khmer Rouge came in. But those believers were all killed. And so when we went back, there was, to us, no known believer in the country. And so we have to go, as we go out into the villages, as we help the people physically, as we help the children, bring them in into our schools and our orphanages, we would share Christ with them. And oftentimes, because my wife and I are Cambodian, they don't know that we're from America. But once they found out that we were from America, that we're actually Americans in a sense of citizenship, they would ask us, why are you coming back? What are you doing here? And that gave us an opportunity to share Christ with them and said, because there is a God that loves them, that died for them, and that God is calling us to come back to help them. And through that, we're able to get these folks come to know Christ, and we disciple them, and we start to build a church, and then more churches. And so right now, of course, there are other missionaries that have been working in Cambodia for years. But right now, we have somewhere between 1 to 3% of the population are believers. And if you look on, and just in terms of the number, statistically speaking, Cambodia in the last 20 years, one of the fastest growing church in all the world.
Wow. We got a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about child sponsorship, but what a difference a life makes. And they say that we have enough wealth in the world right now to right now wipe out poverty. So if you can share some of what you have with someone who has none, imagine the difference you make. And again, feeding them is one thing, which is important, but they're getting the gospel. They're being educated. They're being trained. They're breaking the cycle of poverty. Would you help be a cycle breaker and a history maker? You can call right now, 800-864-0200, or you can go and look at these precious faces on our website, myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a minute. Do you feel tired? I mean, spiritually tired? Are you struggling? Have you been disappointed or feeling let down? I want so much to take you on a journey and encourage you to explore God's invitation to flourish and heal and know His peace in a way that will change you forever. I recorded some audio pieces just for you. Text the word good to 877-933-2484, and together we'll take a journey as we wake up to the goodness of God. God loves you. He's got good plans for you, and He wants you to trust Him. Connecting faith to life. Faith Radio.
One moment.
One moment.
One child.
One child.
When my mom died, I was sad. I went to live with my uncle and aunt, but I could hear their voices talking about not having enough money to feed me and my sister. When they found the Hope Center, we were able to always have good food to eat, and I loved going to the Hope Center.
Her name is Tashinga. She's 13, lives in Zimbabwe. She lost her mama and ended up living with distant relatives. There wasn't a lot of food, but this is where the Hope Center came in. It was a great resource for family, this family in extreme poverty. Tashinga is now able to get food and a good meal and education and the gospel at the Hope Center. She's getting educational assistance because she wants to go to school. She wants to be an educator. She's learning about Jesus. Maybe you can help someone like Tashinga today. Become a child champion, a sponsor for only $39 a month. You can check out these precious kids' stories on myfaithradio.com. I do want to say, because you see their faces and it says, get to know me. You click on that tab. If you start the process of sponsorship, you start to fill out the form and then you get distracted and you run away and leave that page open, as I understand it, it takes that child out of queue. So do finish what you start. And I pray God moves in your heart to change a child's life. And I would love for you, Darth, to just make the case for child sponsorship. Tell me what you've seen in the lives of these children who've been given a hope and a future.
Yes. So your listeners can literally change the destiny of a child in Cambodia for us. And so many of the children in Cambodia do not have an opportunity to go to school. If you see a child in Cambodia, if you were to go to Cambodia, walk down the street, and you would go up to him or her and ask a typical question that one would ask a child, say, what do you want to be when you grow up? That child cannot answer that question because life in Cambodia for the children that lives in these rural areas is all about survival. He or she do not have a luxury to dream about what he or she wants to be when she grow up. And so, but when a sponsor a child, they give them that dream. And so we have a dream center. That's one of our hope center that we name Dream Center. And right now there are over 100 children living at the Dream Center. And every one of our children would come and tell you they want to be a doctor, they want to be a nurse, they want to be a pilot. And all these dreams right now are being planted in the hearts of these children. And through that, God is changing their destiny. And so together, we can change the destiny of a child, whether in Cambodia or in other part of the world that are in need of your help as well. So.
Just amazing. It doesn't even occur to them to have a dream because they have no hope. Like if there's no food, if there's no opportunity, why in the world would I dream? I mean, it just seems so outside of the scope.
And that is correct, yes.
You bring them into a hope center and they get food. They're being trained. You know, you're engaging their heart, their mind, their spirit, their soul, their tummy. Suddenly they think, oh, there's a chance for me here. And boy, if we could really get a vision for that, what a difference that makes. I think we would all want to be difference makers. How has this work changed you, Darth, especially with what you walked through as a child and now you're helping thousands of children? How has that impacted you?
Yes. So, you know, once again, Genesis 50:20 said, you meant for evil. God turned that for good to accomplish his purpose. That's Joseph said to his brother. But I took that as for my own life. The enemy meant it for evil, but now God is using that to accomplish his purpose in my life, but also in the country of Cambodia. So what we're doing, it's an incredible, for us personally, blessing, but also to see lives being changed and transformed by the power of the cross. We just don't know what to say. My wife and I was just two children that survived the genocide in Cambodia. We were just refugees, but God has used us to accomplish his purpose. And it's humbling at the same time. And it's joyful and humbling, and also give us a purpose and hope for the country of Cambodia.
Wow. And when you're there for years, you're home for a year, I would imagine that you're furlough where you're getting some rest, but you're also maybe raising funds. Is that how that goes?
Yeah. And so oftentimes we thought, okay, we're going to go back to the state, we'll get some rest. But when we came back to the U.S., we need to raise funds so that we can go back to Cambodia. So that's the pressures of trying to raise funds to meet our budget. And so we traveled all over Minnesota, of course, but also the U.S. as well. Anywhere that is a church that invite us to come and share our story and what God is doing in the country of Cambodia, we would go and share our story. And hopefully that God will speak into the hearts of men and women in those churches, and they would help us, whether sponsor a child, but also help us to return to Cambodia to do what God has called us to do.
Well, fundraising and rest don't actually belong in the same sentence. So you come home for rest and for fundraising, they're just not going to happen at the same time.
No, it's so not.
If folks want to support you and your wife and the work you do, do you have a website that
they could go to our website? It's dartley.com. It's dartley.com. And on there's a link that they can give to our ministry personally. It's safe. It's connected to our fellowship and missions board with the Assembly of God World Mission. And so there, and they can get tax credits at the end of the year and all that good stuff.
Hmm. Here's one more question before we get ready to wrap. What do you know about God now that you didn't know as well 5-10 years ago?
Well, that God is more compassionate. I mentioned this earlier, more than I could ever thought. We think that, you know, there's questions that we ask ourselves and ask others as well. You know, why did God do that? And why did God allow these things to happen? Why did God allow those things to happen? All the bad things that we see, what we don't know is it breaks God's heart. And those things were not caused by God, but that's the enemy. But God is more compassionate than we could ever come to understand in our life on this side of eternity. And then we will spend eternity trying to get our heads around that, I think.
Mm-hmm, indeed. And that he would be such a good father to meet you as a young teen and take away your nightmares. I mean, just a ministry of grace there. is quite amazing. Well, Darth, we love you and appreciate you. And I'm praying many who are listening today not only sponsor Child, but that they have the means that they sponsor and support you. And pray, friends, for Darth's rest, because he needs some rest. Thank you for
giving
us your time today, sir.
Amen to that. Thank you,
sir. God bless you.
To you as well, and to your listeners as well. Mm,
such an incredible story. Again, friends, we're praying that you can give a gift and change a life. We'll have a link to Darth's website in the show notes. If you feel like, I don't know if I can sponsor Child yet, but I feel like I'm supposed to sponsor and help support Darth and his wife, you do that. Do what God's telling you to do. But as we get generous as God's people, the kingdom comes and the kingdom moves. So ask the Lord, what would you have me do? And then do it. Thanks so much for tuning in today. We love and appreciate you. We'll meet you back here next time.
Thanks for listening to Suzy Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.